Welcome back. It's hour number four, Melnick in the Afternoon, TSN 690 on game night. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gala, Farisa Perillo's helping us out. Knuckles will join us in about 20 minutes. Had a really nice conversation with his former roomie in Boston, Stefan Quintel. Habs and Jets at 8 o'clock. Connor McKenna's here at 7. And then Dan Roberts and Sergio Mimesa with the play-by-play from Winnipeg at 8. We'll get to the Habs and Jets in just a few minutes. And prior to the Habs and Jets, if you're in front of your television set on TSN tonight, it's the Toronto Maple Leafs hosting the Florida Panthers.
I still think I got like at least 7 years left in my body, to be honest with you. I still feel like I can play the game, and I love the game. So it's the most important thing.
Well, do the math. Jágr's 43 plus 7, 50.
I can't believe anybody could play at this at the pace of the game. Well, I can't believe anybody can play at 43, so maybe I shouldn't dismiss it. I can't believe it. He says if he feels as good as he does now, I got news for him. He's not going to feel as good as he does now in 5 years.
Grumpy Ray Ferraro with us every Tuesday and Thursday after 4. The always smiling. He's always feeling all right. From ESPN.com and TSN hockey insider Pierre LeBrun, also every Tuesday and Thursday after 6. How are you?
I'm all right.
Oh, you're beautiful, LeBrun. Yeah, are you going to be writing a column on the marvel, the medical marvel that is Jaromir Jágr, still racking up points in the NHL at the age of 50?
I mean, it's absolutely unreal. I remember interviewing him when he in the summer in which he turned down a massive offer from the Edmonton Oilers. People forget this, and instead went to the KHL. And he was emotional on the call. He talked about leaving the NHL, and it's been a great life. And that was years and years ago. I mean, he's come back and continued to be an amazing player. And he slowed down, obviously. But, you know, he's such a smart guy. He's made himself effective again by what he does. He's a huge puck possession guy, great on the cycle, hard to knock off the puck. And, boy, talking to Barkov and Huberto this morning at the Air Canada Center, they cannot believe how much he has augmented their games and how much they learn from him. They're just a sponge. And Jágr said he's really into this role of, you know, Professor Jágr. I mean, he comes to the rink every day with something new to share with the kids. And, you know, it's really been a marriage made in heaven so far anyway. And I will tell you this, I think that Panthers management have been so happy with him that I think they'll get together probably with his agent in the near future to see if there's something there and see if they, you know, if they want to keep this marriage going past this year.
That would be Peter Svoboda, who might be listening as we speak. 8 points in 11 games for the Panthers this season. And I've done this periodically through the years, Pierre, and on the baseball side, you know, with Joe DiMaggio and Ted Williams and many others. Spending time like 3, 4, 5 years in the military service during World War II, right? Bob Feller. And what it meant to their numbers, if you just prorate it, because they missed like four complete
Roger
seasons.
Roger Staubach and my Cowboys.
Right. Yep. So, you know, you look at Jágr's totals, right? It's like close to 720 goals. He's got almost 1,800 points, and he missed three full seasons. Mm-hmm. What those numbers would look like.
I mean, I think you got to conservatively give him, 40 points a year for the 3 years he missed?
Well, and he had 67 points a year ago or 2 years ago. A year ago.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like just being really, really conservative, he's out at least between 120 to 150 points.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the shame of it. And you don't blame a guy. I mean, we're all into earning a living, and we sometimes switch employers like I have. And get something comfortable for you and your family. That's what he did by going to Russia. But it's a shame because you really do wonder where his NHL numbers would be. It'd be crazy.
All right. Speaking of employers, who is the next coach? If you were who's the guy at Bodog? Bodog.ca, they list the odds. He's on.
Right.
Yeah, Adam Burns.
Yeah, Adam Burns. He's on with the Seanster all the time. He was on with you guys, right, on the Hot Topic Radio show, wasn't he?
It's a regular feature, actually. Oh, cool. He joins us at the end of every show.
All right, give us some odds right now on who will be coaching the Toronto Maple Leafs next season.
Who knows? I mean, honestly.
Come on, Pierre, play along.
I'm just so tired of I will tell you what was fascinating to me is that, and I wrote about this yesterday and it got a lot of reaction, but just globally, looking at the entire league, this could be the most dramatic offseason in the coaching fraternity in the history of the NHL. And I don't say that lightly, but literally when you think about Mike Babcock's decision, you know, what happens to Claude Julien and Tom McClelland, two of the most respected guys in the game, Dave Tippett in Arizona, what happens if Anaheim or St. Louis get knocked out in the first round? What does that mean for Bujo or Hitchcock, two other great coaches? Pete DeBoer and Dan Bylsma and Paul McClain are still free agents, among others. I think Buffalo, we all, you know, worst kept secret, will probably make a coaching change, and they've got a lot of money to spend. Terry Pegula spent money on Rex Ryan for his football coach. He's willing to spend money on his hockey coach too.
Do you mean Babcock?
He's taking a run at Babcock or one of the other big names like McClellan or whoever else. I mean, I think the Sabres are all in, and if they get Connor McDavid, I mean, that certainly strengthens their position, but even Jack Eichel would, I think. Obviously, Toronto with the deep pockets. It's got the potential to be an unbelievable summer, not just because as many as a third of the teams in the league could make changes, but also because of the quality of the names that we're talking about, right? I mean, this is unreal, some of the names that we're talking about here. So, yeah, listen, it's going to be more interesting to me than the actual players signing July 1st when you consider the UFA crop.
The UFA crop led by Antoine Vermette? Or who am I missing? There's a few
other
guys.
Yeah, I mean, Justin Williams, Antoine Vermette, I mean, Devin Dubnyk, maybe Andrew Hammond, although, again, some of those guys won't even get there. But, listen, I'm not – there'll be news that day, but I'm telling you, when you start talking about whether or not Mike Babcock stays or goes and all the other names we mentioned, boy, that is some pretty rarefied air in terms of some of the best coaches in the league.
All right, well, you know him pretty well, and I'm not going to ask you to tell us where he's going. You don't know. He probably doesn't know at this point. Let's assume things do not work out in Detroit, mm-hmm. and he does move on. Of the likely landing points, you just mentioned one that might have surprised some people, Buffalo.
Right.
I was going to say, I understand the money factor. He's going to make a ton of money wherever he goes. And I can't imagine where the Leafs are right now, even though there is the attraction of a historically great market and significant market like Toronto. Does Mike Babcock at this stage of his life want to go through a long rebuild?
I don't know about a long one. I think he'd be willing to go to a rebuild if he thinks there's something magical that could happen at the end of it. And again, the April 18th draft lottery is going to be the first domino in terms of the coaching decisions, not just Mike Babcock's own decision. I mean, that's a big deal. What if the Leafs win the lottery?
Right.
Doesn't that completely drastically change the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Sure,
I mean,
it does.
No, I mean, listen, he may stay in Detroit. I think the Red Wings are going to make him a heck of an offer. It's not going to be as much money as what he could get in, for example, I think Toronto, Buffalo, or Philly. I think the Wings are going to make him an offer that will pay him the most of any Wings coach in Detroit history. But I think it's still going to be measured because what they're selling is also, we're the Red Wings. We make the playoffs every year, and guess what? We got Nyquist, Tatar, and you name them. We're going to be good again for the next 10 years. That's what they're selling to Mike Babcock. And he knows that, and he loves it there. But there might be allure elsewhere. We'll see. I mean, I think what Detroit does in the playoffs will be important. And you're right, by the way, when you started your question, I do not believe Mike Babcock is even close to leaning one way or the other. I still think that he wants to get through the rest of the year, hopefully get a long playoff run, and then truly sit down and have to make his call.
We've talked a lot about Michel Therrien on this show the last couple of years. You know that there is a certain level of respect that's not there for a guy who's done what he's done since returning mm-hmm. to Montreal, first team in the NHL with 100 points. If the Canadiens get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs, and it's a bad knockout, it's not like seven games in competitive, for whatever reason, I can't see it, right. But if that happens, could you see a change?
I just don't see it, just because I know that one of the things that really concerned Mark Bergevin when he studied the Canadiens job and the Canadiens organization is that he felt there had been too much turnover at the coaching position in the last decade or the last 10, 15 years. And then this has always stuck with me when I've spoken to Bergevin about this. He feels that, you know, you stick with your guy, you got to give him a long while before you make that change. So now, again, I'm not saying it's impossible, but
only in light of the Babcock factor. That's why I'm throwing it out.
Well, I guess there's that. Yeah, I mean, and by the way, that's going to be the wild. As one coach told me yesterday, that's the wild card in all kinds of things. I mean, you know, if you're a team that loses in the first round, you know, in the West, and you know Babcock's there, like, you know, do you pull the trigger because you think you have a chance at him? Who knows? I mean, I will say this, going back to Buffalo, just as an intriguing possibility. I mean, who knows? I mean, I mean, maybe, you know, maybe they have no shot at him. But Tim Murray, the Sabres GM, you know, hired Mike Babcock for his first NHL job in Anaheim. It was Tim Murray and Brian Murray running the Ducks at the time. And I know that Tim Murray's influence on Brian in hiring Mike Babcock was paramount. So just one of those dot, dot, dots to stick in the back of your mind. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, you know, if something happens in Anaheim, would you go back there? Philadelphia, if they fire Berube, they're a big market with big dough. I mean, I think there's a lot of different options. But, again, what makes this intriguing to me, guys, is that it's not just Mike Babcock. I mean, we all agree, I think, that he's the best coach in the league. But, boy, if you start seeing guys like Todd McClellan and Claude Julien and Dave Tippett out there, that's pretty sexy club as well. I mean, it is absolutely it's almost like five of the top 10 scorers in the NHL all being UFA this summer.
Right.
It would be crazy.
Yeah, free agent frenzy could be all about coaching resumes. Instead of HockeyDB, it'll be checking out coachingdb.com. going back to what you said about Bergevin, Terry, and Bergevin really valuing stability, if Mitch laid out a scenario, if that were to occur, they seem so tight, right, Pierre? Like, they're completely in sync. He's got the contract. And I could see, if there is a scenario where the Canadians get knocked out badly in round one, I could see Bergeron making himself the target somehow and doing what he could to, like, extend a force field around.
Yeah, I didn't get him what he needed, a score.
Exactly. I could totally see Bergeron doing that.
Yeah, that would not – I think that's pretty solid line of thinking, absolutely. No question about it. And I think what you'll see, too, is – because it's not out of the question Montreal loses in the first round. Who's kidding who? I mean, the East is – I mean, the teams are so close, and I think what you'll see as a line of reasoning as well, if they do lose, is that, you know, we overachieved this year anyway. I mean, we didn't think we'd be first or second in the East. And you know, you can roll your eyes all you want, but it is actually true that they did not go into this year thinking they'd be competing for the conference title.
Paul Maurice, after the skate in Winnipeg, the umpteenth opposing coach to praise the way the Canadians play.
Really good quickness, puck reads, puck possessions, and they are very defined structurally in how they play off each other. So there's not a lot of easy ice. They will frustrate you with their quickness, and if you open that game up, then they're going to beat you.
How about the job that guy has done in light of all the injuries, and they're still part of the playoff picture here?
It's, you know, as always, I think you can go with 10 guys for the Jack Adams every year, but, I mean, he'd probably be one of the top two guys and may still be, if not for the fact that Bob Hartley somehow has a team that should have been last, still sitting in a playoff spot in Calgary. It's almost like they're one-upping each other with how surprising their years have been. But, you know, what Paul Maurice has done with the Jets, and this is all due respect to the Flames, I mean, it's a great story. But to me, the Jets are actually a team, if they get in, that can knock someone off. I mean, I think there's some sustainability in the way they play. They're a good puck possession team. They're heavy. To me, they're LA Kings-like heavy in their physicality. I mean, they wear you down. When teams, I've talked to players on teams that played the Jets the week before, and they're coming through Toronto, and they were like, holy man, we got beat up by them. So the Jets are a real interesting team to me, and that's something for Habs fans to watch tonight, is just how heavy they are. The Canadiens are going to get absolutely crunched tonight, and it's a good test for them. We'll see how they react to that.
Well, we can get to a hit. We're going to get to a hit. If we can't get to a hit, we don't chase it. We like to think of our size more as an off containment, being able to hold people off pucks, you know, jumping back on in the short areas rather than chasing guys all over the ice.
Finishing up with Pierre LeBrun, Melnick in the afternoon, TSN 690.
So, Pierre, I'm looking at their depth chart, and especially down the middle, it's not that great, and they've been, you know, they've had a ton of injuries. They had Byfuglien miss 9 games. Brian Little's currently hurt. How have they been getting it done without a lot of depth, and also the fact that they've had so many injuries?
Well, I mean, certainly Adam Lowry's been a great, surprise in terms of him being that impactful already. But the real story down the middle is Mark Scheifele. He has really taken steps. And as soon as Brian Little went down, Mark Scheifele's game skyrocketed. It's like he loves the challenge. And, you know, someone in the Jets organization reminded me that last year Scheifele went down late in the year. That basically sunk their year. That's how important Mark Scheifele is to this team. And you'll notice him tonight. Just makes a lot of smart plays. And just a really good number two. On some nights right now, he's got to be a number one, but a really good two-way player, and you know, has found some great chemistry with Blake Wheeler. That's he's one of the reasons they've been able to hang in with all the injuries, is that he's a very young player, I think he just turned 22, who has taken huge strides here in the second half of the Winnipeg Jets.
And we were reminded just before you join us by agent provocateur Alan Walsh that Andre Pavlik, his client, goaltender for the Winnipeg Jets, has not been beaten with his new Bruce Springsteen mask. And he's starting
That's
tonight.
Important information.
It sure is. Scoop the world that he got a Springsteen mask, and he's taking his game to another level. He really has played very well with it.
He has played well over the last couple of weeks, and it's funny because it coincided with him giving up that softie in St. Louis, remember?
That sure do. Yeah.
And the way he reacted to it has been, you know, that's what you want to see, man. You want to see your guy pick himself off the ground and respond to it, and then that's showing a lot of character for sure.
Have a great weekend. Great chatting as always, Pierre. We'll do it again on Tuesday.
All right, guys. Stay out of trouble.